Okay, we're good.
Welcome, everybody, to the February 15th meeting of the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation. We apologize for being a little bit late. We were on the floor until about 15 minutes ago. So we're going to start off with, we're just going to go down the list. So we will open a public hearing on House Bill 4038A. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4038A permits shareholders in and members of cooperative corporations to vote by electronic means. The measure has an emergency clause and so will become effective upon passage and signature by the governor. It came out of the House with no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and on a vote of 59-0 on the House floor, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Ms. Rachel. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Rachel Clore with the Oregon Rural Electric Cooperative Association. This is not OREC's bill. I do believe we were expecting Rep. Buckley to introduce the bill. The premise of it has to do with defining electronic voting for cooperatives. OREC represents the state's 18 not-for-profit electric cooperatives that serve over 200,000 members and 65% of the landmass of Oregon to deliver electricity to some of the most rural and remote parts of the state. There has been some interest expressed by our members for electronic voting, but the work is very preliminary. OREC appreciates the clarity that House Bill 4038 provides. We have no objections or concerns with this current legislation. Thanks for your questions, or thanks for the opportunity to testify, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Senator.
I'm sorry. If I'd have known you would have been here, I'd have probably got you the question. My concern is fraud. And, I mean, right now, anything that's done electronically, we got countries that are hacking into especially the energy grid, so the fact that you bring the energy grid forward. How do we know, I mean, what protections, if you, this is enabling language, so what protections will you put in to make sure that there's no fraud involved in the vote?
Chair Beyer, Senator Girard, we have not reached that step in exploring if this is an option for us. We just want to be able to make sure we have the ability. One of the cooperatives we have that's interested in exploring this is just getting feedback from their members on if this is even a viable option. I'm not sure what security measures they've looked into yet.
Rachel, I would think that your bigger problem, having sat on a credit union board of directors, which is cooperative, is just getting enough people to show up in an annual meeting to even do the minor votes. So I think this is a way to get greater participation, and while there may be some issues about fraud, they're probably the lesser of the problems. Anybody else? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all I had signed up to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 4039A? 4038A. I was looking at the wrong bill.
The next one.
No? We'll close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 4038A, and the chair would move House Bill 4038A to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion.
Only thing I would say was that testimony was a little bit too long for the rest of these house bills coming up. Just
thank you, Senator.
You bet.
Anything else? It's part of your new being nice.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Is there any opposition to the bill? There is none. House Bill 4038A moves to the Senate floor with a do pass recommendation. And I believe that Senator Thompson wanted to carry this.
Sure.
He's got it. All right. So we'll close on that. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 4039. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4039 modifies the definition of rural airport for the purposes of the Through the Fence Operations Pilot Program. It also repeals the requirement that non-resident pilots, register with the state of Oregon. Pirates do still have to register. With the state of Oregon prior to piloting an aircraft into the state. The measure also has an emergency clause, would take effect upon passage. This has no fiscal revenue impact. Came to this with a House vote of 59-0. And I believe Mr. Swecker is here to discuss that, Mr. Chair.
Welcome, Mitch.
Good afternoon.
I thought we did this last time.
We didn't do this one last time, but...
We didn't do the... This is a little different, Through the Fence?
We did the urban growth boundary, I think, and there was certain water issues.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Senator Beyer and members of the committee. My name is Mitch Swecker. I'm the director of the Department of Aviation. I'm here on two simple issues in House Bill 4039. The first is that when we did the Through the Fence legislation back in 2005 and then amended it in 2009, in 2009 they put a clause in that said you could not have an air traffic control tower and be in the Through the Fence program. Well, by virtue of the fact that we just finished construction and now it's open, a air traffic control tower at Aurora, that clause doesn't work anymore. So we're merely striking that sentence out of the bill. And then the second piece of the legislation is, for many years in statute, we've had a requirement to register out-of-state pilots if they come into the state. It'd be the equivalent of having a Washington driver come into the state of Oregon and then have to have an Oregon driver's license. And that caught the attention of the NBAA, the National Business Aviation Association. They challenged it. As a matter of fact, they sent a number of letters, and I received phone calls from a number of state legislators. Some of you may have been included in that, that said that that was going to drive business out of the state, that registering pilots that just come in here transiently was a bad thing for the business aviation community. So what we're doing here is striking something out of the statute that's been on the statute for a long time that we never interpreted it that way. And it just gets rid of something. I went to DOJ. They, in fact, said that was the case, that we should be enforcing that clause of it. So all we're trying to do is clean up the language in the statute. And subject to any questions, that concludes my presentation.
Questions to Senator Riley?
So you used the word transient, but this says the old law says that within 60 days, that's not really transient.
So, Senator Beyer, Senator Riley, I think the intent of that is if you come into the state and you're going to maintain a business in the state, you have to register within 60 days. Mm-hmm. But when I went to DOJ, they said that it meant that if they came in here and worked within the state, that we would have to register them as pilots in Oregon. So that's the language we're trying to clarify.
Go ahead.
So. I'm not quite sure why we don't want to now register them as pilots in Oregon if they're going to be here permanently.
And Chair Beyer, Senator Riley, we never had enforced it that way. We'd never done that. We had a new staff member come in, and she started applying that literally. And so anytime a new pilot came into the state, say transit, say Coca-Cola, had a business, they came in and dropped off some of their executives, we would technically then have to start registering them. So that's what we're trying to get rid of, that particular clause.
So I don't read it that way. If Coca-Cola comes into the state, drops off some executives, and the pilot goes back wherever he came from, this doesn't read that way. It says if they're here for 60 days. I'm confused.
So, Senator Beyer, Senator Riley, I'm not sure about the interpretation of the 60 days. We just got a DOJ interpretation that this was the incorrect application if we didn't want to have to register pilots from out of state. So that's the sum and substance of what we're trying to do.
So to be real clear, you're trying to draw a clear line that says if they're out-of-state pilots, you don't want to register them.
Senator Beyer, that's true. That's exactly what we're trying to do.
Okay.
I think there's a better way to do this because that's not what this says. So it says that we're not going to register anyone who comes into the state, only those people who get their license here as a student. People who come into the state are not required to register, even if they're going to stay, if we take this out. I'm sorry. It doesn't work for me.
That's old language. Hmm? It's old language.
Yeah, it's old language.
Others? Senator Riley has concerns.
I understand what they want to do. I just don't think that this is the right language.
Give them a chance to amend it before they come.
Amend it? You want a chance to clarify the language? Or do you?
Chair Beyer, we could certainly do that. Looking at the language, the last sentence, pilots operating commercially shall register prior to any commercial operating. That was the intent we're trying to get rid of. We may have overly broadened that sentence so that if we take out the first part of that clause and just left in the last sentence, would that be acceptable?
You mean if you only delete the last sentence?
Pilots operating commercially shall register
leave the
prior
rest
to
in.
Any commercial operations.
Leave the rest in? Yeah, that works. I mean, that does what you want to do. You took out too much.
We had time to deal with that.
Chair Beyer and Senator Riley, I think our interpretation that because of the clause that within the 60 days, the requirement to register within 60 days, that implied a more permanent stay rather than a transient stay. So that was
exactly
the intent. Was that they would then be operating a business in the state if they operated for 60 days.
And that's what it says.
Trust me, Senator Riley's right in the fact is if there's any way to read it wrong, my experience is the government will read it wrong. So we would like to have it read appropriately.
Exactly.
All righty. So it would be helpful if you got us an amendment soon. Work with Patrick, get us an amendment soon.
We'll have Riley here. Mm-hmm. Have Chuck work on it too. Senator Riley.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, I'll work with him on it.
Chair Beyer, Senator Riley, I'd be happy
to have it back at our next meeting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think everybody wants the bill and knows what you're trying to do.
Exactly. That's true.
Knowing how long it takes to read bills, we need to get it done so we can get it to the other chamber for concurrence.
The speed is of the essence.
Yeah, speed is of
the
essence. Yeah. Okay.
So,
thank you.
Come to my office. I'll meet you.
Anybody else who wishes to comment on this? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing, and Patrick will work with folks and get that done. All right. So we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 4047. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4047 increases speed limits for certain highways, including State Highway 97 from Klamath Falls to the California state line and Interstate 82 from the intersection with I-84 and the Washington state line. It declares emergency, becomes effective upon passage. There's no amendment, a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact statement have been issued, and it came to us with a House vote of 59-0.
Paul.
That didn't help a lot.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Mather, Highway Division Administrator, here at House Bill 4047, a pretty straightforward cleanup bill from last session. Remember, last session we talked about raising speeds on several rural highways in eastern Oregon, including 94 and others. As we were going through implementation, noticed there was two very short segments that really presented a speed trap, if you will, where you were at a higher speed outside of Oregon, and then when you came into Oregon, there was a small section where you were at a lower speed before you got back onto a higher speed. So one of those is Klamath Falls on 97 between California and Klamath Falls. For some reason, the bill said Klamath Falls and not the state line. And then I think on I-82, it was just an omission of that highway completely, but it's a short segment of I-82 where Washington has a higher speed limit than you get on 84, and it's a higher speed limit. The map that is in my testimony, I think, does a good job kind of showing just how small these segments are and these kind of speed traps that I'm trying to illustrate. So,
speed traps? We don't have any speed traps.
I wish we did have more time because there are a lot of other ones. Highway 22 going east, they don't even enforce them unless it's over 70. So there's absolutely no reason that shouldn't be 65, probably almost till Mill City. And they just sit out there, and we get a lot of revenue in Marion County for that at the expense of my district. So that would be kind of nice if that would be at 65.
Wasn't that highway taken up in the rural 65 bill the last time?
Not Highway 22.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Girod, the bill last time just focused on highways east of the Cascades.
That's right.
Really?
And so it was just 84, and then mostly focused on southeast Oregon. Really low-volume rural highways is where we
How'd you miss your opportunity on that?
It's tough when it's somebody else's bill, but I think I'll put a bill in for Highway 22 in 2017. Save everybody that, driving through there.
Didn't that one also reinstate the basic rule?
Senator Chair Beyer, the bill actually on these highways will now be a limit and not basic rule.
Right.
So if you're on Highway 22 that Senator Girard's talking about, you're under basic rule. On these highways, there will now be a limit. So it'll be similar to the 25-mile-hour limit you mm-hmm. have in cities or school zones where you have a limit. There'll actually be a limit on these routes.
So actually you're covered under the basic rule. Those signs are only suggestions.
Yeah,
that's right.
These signs will actually say speed limit rather than speed, so you know you see the speed signs elsewhere in the highway.
But the fine is determined by what the speed limit is.
There is no speed limit.
The fine is determined by whether you're violated the basic rule.
The fine is based on how many miles an hour you're over the speed limit.
This is
Well, for discussion for another day.
Yeah. Chair Beyer, just one more thing. We are set to implement the original bill on March 1st, and we're hopeful that if we can get this bill through, we'll implement this at the same time we implement the rest of the speed increases. We've done the engineering work, the sign work, and we're prepared to do implementation of the entire system on March 1st, including these if they're passed and signed by the governor in time.
Right. Thank you, Paul. Questions? Other questions? Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 4047?
Yeah.
Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. We'll open a work session on House Bill 4047. Senator Girod moves House Bill 4047 to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. You did say that, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, I knew he said that. Discussion on the motion. Is there any opposition to the motion? There is none. House Bill 4047 moves to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. Senator Girod, would you carry it?
Why don't you let Whitsitt carry it?
Huh?
Let Whitsitt carry it.
Oh, it's his?
Yeah.
We'll ask Senator Whitsitt if he wants to carry it. We'll close on that. We'll open on public hearing on House Bill 4053A. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4053A expands retail opportunities for brewery licensees to include retail sales of malt beverages, wine, and cider for consumption on or off the licensed premises, selling wine, malt beverages, or cider in growlers, holding special events licenses, and holding full on-premise license sales license that allows for the sale of distilled spirits. It establishes a fee for a special events brewery license. It requires that a special events brewery license holder maintain liquor liability insurance or a bond if an event is open to the public and in attendance, and attendance is expected to exceed 300 individuals per day. It limits brewery licensees and certain individuals connected to licensees selling malt beverages at retail to 3 locations, regardless of the number or type of licenses held. This measure has a minimal fiscal and a minimal revenue impact. There's no amendment before us, and it came to us on a House vote of 56-0. There were a few more people absent or excused that day.
What? Want to talk?
Well, I want to talk. Is that a brief question?
My understanding is this one is a kumbaya bill. Are you going to make it a non-kumbaya bill?
No, I would never do that to you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romaine with the Romaine Group. We represent the Oregon Beer and Wine Distributors Association, and yes, this is a kumbaya bill. It actually started off as a contentious issue. The issue was a brewery owning, in effect, multiple retail establishments. There was a buyout of a local brewer by a big out-of-state brewer, and we went through a lot of gyrations on this thing, and frankly, the members of the House chair of the business committee and others, I think you were involved, I think Senator Prozanski was involved and others, basically got people together and we hashed it out. We basically did what you're supposed to do. We got all the interest groups together and worked on this and tried to figure out what is a reasonable solution. And what comes before you is a bill that came out of the House unanimously, except for four people were missing. It is a good bill. It solves, we believe, solves the problems. We think it'll be a model for other places around the country. We had the small brewers, we had large brewers, we had the Liquor Control Commission, we had the wine growers, we had everybody who was interested in this at the table. The one issue I just want to make clear is on the issue of control, we wanted to make sure that in effect, having somebody on a board was not control. We made the definition such that you actually had to have a majority on a board, or if you were in a position on that board like chairman or something like that where you would have more influence than normal, that would end up being somewhat of a control situation. But basically, it's a good bill. It gives a little bit of flexibility to the Liquor Control Commission. It does what needs to be done, and we would recommend a unanimous vote out of this committee. And again, I do want to commend especially the committee assistant over on the House side who kind of, Jan, put it together and really worked her tail off on this thing. And everybody just kind of sat down. We weren't, believe me, in the beginning this was not a love fest, and it turned out to be a love fest. So thank you. The process worked. Unbelievable.
It was a long process and lots of amendments.
We went through a few iterations.
Yes, you did.
For some reason, nobody accepted what I wrote exactly in the beginning.
Hard to imagine.
Hard to imagine.
Questions of Paul? Seeing none. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you for working on this. Amanda. First time before the committee. Nikasi's happy?
Yes. So for the record, my name is Amanda Hess, and I'm here representing Nikasi Brewing. Chair Beyer, members of the committee, Nikasi just wanted to iterate that they are very supportive of the bill. They're participants in the work group process and found it a good process. And we really believe that Oregon is a bastion for really great craft beer, in large part because of the laws that the Oregon legislature has passed to help brewers succeed. House Bill 4053 is a bill in that trend, and we're very supportive of its passage.
Questions of Amanda? See none. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Always nice to have Nikos happy. All righty, let's see. Anybody else wants to talk? OLCC's happy? The wine board's happy? Big brewers are happy? Okay, looks like everybody's happy. Is anybody who's not happy? All right, we will close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 4053A, and the chair would move 4053A to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. 4053, not 56, excuse me. Senator Riley.
I'm happy, Mr. Chair.
Good man.
Yes? I'm surprised that we actually have a bill that people have worked on and have come to consensus. It just hasn't been a set session of consensus. So this is the way that it was meant to work, and especially in the short session, and I'm happy to support the bill.
Well, and Jan Nordland did a wonderful job, as did Patrick, working this out. And surprisingly, it was sort of led by Representative Hovey, which I know you find it hard to believe.
That is really hard.
You happy too?
Well, I was going to ask, Senator Drott didn't say if he was happy or not. Well,
that's probably a difficult question for him. All right, is there any further discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? There appears to be none. House Bill 4053A moves to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation.
And I think you should carry since it's Holvey's bill.
I will.
Senator Brzezinski was involved in this. As the, as
we'll let Senator Brzezinski carry it then.
He talks too
okay,
long.
And we will.
We want you to carry it.
We'll close on that chair's prerogative. I'm quicker than he is, but that's it. We're at the end of the agenda. Anything else? Just note that at least one committee in the building moves things fast.
And we're
adjourned.
One committee is happy.
Today. Well, it's questionable.
So real quick.